Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. This is Brian Strausser, Principal and CEO at BrightPath.
This is Barry Wheeler, Consultant at BrightPath.
So we've decided that 90 days from now, we're going to have a crisis exercise. We've scheduled it. We've sent out the invites. We've secured the room. And then it hits us. We have to prepare for this exercise. We just thought it was a good idea to have one. What do we got to do here? What do we do, Bray?
Where to begin? Well, and I think a couple of assumptions. We've identified the scenario. We've kind of laid out our run of play or our outline for the exercise. We feel pretty confident in that. I think what we're trying to drive at is...
We know who's participating and observing and evaluating and controlling.
Yeah.
Might all be the same person.
Right. All the finer points of kind of the nature of the exercise and what we're trying to accomplish has kind of been laid out, but we have to get ready for it. And I think there's a couple different kind of pockets of things, activities that have to be done. One is as players and one is as facilitators of that exercise. So from just a pure participant player standpoint, you know, there's quite a bit that people can do that's, you know, probably fairly obvious, but not everybody does it. You know, we do surveys a lot with a lot of our companies, and it's amazing to see that people, well, I brought the plan. And that's kind of all they did.
Bringing the plan is good.
Right.
It's good to have the plan with
it's
you.
It's a good start, but they often don't necessarily review that plan up front. Mm-hmm. They're not meeting as individual work streams or things like that. So there's a lot that can be done. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked quite a bit about reviewing that plan is important, but it's really looking at it from I understand the general flow of how things go, that I could easily kind of communicate that to somebody who doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's your participants, your members of your crisis group, whatever that is, should be able to walk up to a random employee in the company and be able to succinctly explain kind of what the general process is for that and have that person understand what they're talking about, because that means that participant gets it.
Yeah, they understand what's going on. They can speak to the context of the exercise. I mean, I think our standard practice has been, as you get closer to the exercise, like 7 to 10 days out or maybe a little bit earlier, we're having somebody, sometimes it's us, sometimes it's the client's kind of main program person, is sending out an email to participants. And in the email, we always kind of include a couple things. Like here's the goals or objectives for the exercise. More importantly, how you should think about preparing for the exercise. And to your point, you used to like review the plan, talk about the plan with others. We have them look at previous action reports.
Yep.
To kind of look at what worked well and what recommendations work. Because sometimes those recommendations are about the participants or about interaction from the participants or knowledge of the plan kind of thing.
Or a process like accounting for employees or how to engage, you know, an HR partner or something like that. That having those work streams, whether it's communications or HR or security or something like that, get together and kind of meet up in advance and just say, hey, we get into a situation or this exercise is coming up, let's talk through our roles and responsibilities, our process. Who's gonna have the ball? When do I need to pick the ball up?
Right.
When are you gonna pass me the ball, or when can I expect that the ball is coming my way, you know, without knowing in advance? And that I think speaks to, you know, just being comfortable just generally, not only with the process, but just that roles and responsibilities and kind of understanding what other people are doing when you walk into that room. So it's not, you're not breaking down, well, I do this or don't you do this? That's, you're pretty comfortable, and it's more deeper questions that you're going to ask during the exercise
right. To
clarify a certain piece rather than knowledge seek.
And I think it behooves people who have been involved in a previous exercise and they find themselves going into another exercise, you know, same company, same rough role and responsibilities. I think it is important to reflect on what went well and what didn't go well in that previous exercise.
Yep.
And look at the formal after action report if you have access to it, because at least the way we ponder constructing exercises, and I know our clients believe in this too, we're looking at what didn't go well last time that we said we were going to fix.
Right.
And now we're going to test it again to see if it's fixed. You brought up accountability for employees. And I know we did an exercise, or we've done a couple exercises earlier this year with clients where that was a factor.
Yep.
One company had a process for that. It went in exercise, the exercise world went well. One had never thought about it and went, wow, we should figure out how to do that. So obviously this fall, when we go back there and do an exercise, we're going to be asking that. Like, okay, so
you've had time.
You've had time. Why did you, we're going to test it.
Do you know where your employees are?
Yeah. Do you know where your employees are? How are you going to account for the employees in this building?
Yep.
The 1,100 employees that have to evacuate. And I have confidence in this particular case, the HR leader will be like, well, yes, we're going to initiate our new process.
Done.
And like magic, it happens.
Right.
But
that's
it behooves you to go back and look at that list of opportunities and make sure that you've addressed them before the next exercise.
Well, I think to your point, you know, in preparing for the next exercise and even thinking about how you're going to follow up out of that exercise is that after action and those opportunities, those things that didn't go well, to your point, is it's really based on what do we want to change? How do we want to fix it? What are the action, making it actionable, those opportunities, rather than, well, that didn't go well. We don't have a process for that. Great. You need to take that opportunity and say, okay, we didn't have this and we need to put that into place and that needs to be ready for the next exercise or next event or time limit or whatever you want to set to it, but that you make it actionable.
Another area I think of preparing for an exercise, and you mentioned this, I think you talked about it, is work streams. And I agree with that context. I think you think about the teams you think about the elements of a crisis team or a data incident response team. You have people there who are representing different functions or are a particular subject matter expert. And so they're bringing that silo with them, right? But think about like a client-facing business where you have multiple clients of different sizes that your organization provides services or products to. And you have, and then just think about the concept of communication in that world. You've got external comms going out to the public, kind of like PR.
Yep.
You got social media. You've got the investment community for publicly traded. You've got your employees. So now you got internal communications. And then you got communications to your clients.
You even have regulatory.
And you got good point. I left that out. You've also got communication to regulators. Now you're in a crisis and you have to communicate what's going on. That is probably not just your comms team. It's probably multiple stakeholders in various work streams to make that happen. So if you go upstream of preparing for the exercise, then it might be a good idea to get your work stream together and walk through this, particularly if it's been a while since your last exercise. Do you have the inputs and outputs and the decision points nailed down? Do you need to practice this outside of the crisis environment before you get to the exercise? In some cases, yes, we have clients that should probably practice that.
Well, and especially if there's been organizational changes, if there are new leaders in those positions covering those areas, because communications is a good example because it's probably one of the more complex pieces of running a crisis just because of everything we've kind of laid out. Who's in charge of drafting the messaging? Who has that responsibility? Who's approving it? Who needs to see it first?
Where's the base factual narrative that we're all working off of?
Right. How is it being delivered? You know, and who's delivering it? Right. There's through social media, there's through, hey, we have people calling into our customer service line who may not be a customer. You know, they may just be journalist or general person off the street asking a question. Employees calling up. You know, we've seen that before where employees will call the internal or the customer service line looking for information. So it's having kind of all those different components, to your point, laid out kind of ahead of time and knowing who's running what.
Mm-hmm.
So the second bucket we kind of have been talking about, so we have kind of the player participants, you know, members of the crisis team, and then there's kind of the facilitators or the operators of the exercise
controllers and exercise director. I mean, it depends on what terminology you're using.
Evaluator.
Yes. Right.
Kind of all those things.
Observers.
And I think as we were kind of talking earlier, there's really two ways as you're thinking about the exercise. You're running an exercise probably for two reasons. One is it's a newer function or a newer plan or generally just a kind of a new team. And really it's a
confidence builder, confidence, right?
Yeah. Building confidence. You're getting them comfortable with the plan and the process and the players and each other in a lot of cases. And the second one is more mature function. And this one is, we're going to challenge you. It's, I think as you indicated earlier, introducing fog into it.
Fog of war.
Stress.
We're going to introduce noise in order to distract you from managing your scenario.
Yeah. How are you able to discern what's important, what's not important? What decisions do you need to make? All those different things. Mm-hmm. So really as a facilitator or controller, we'll use facilitator for conversation purposes. Really with that new function, you're really guiding them. You're kind of shepherding them through the exercise. You're a source for answers to questions. You're kind of mediating different conversations. You're really just kind of allowing them to kind of talk it out and play it out to get comfortable with it. When you get into that mature kind of scenario, your role changes. You're less the source of truth. You're a nudger. You're kind of just poking them and prodding them along to keep the exercise moving so that they don't stall out, but really you're not giving them the answers anymore. And so you need to be able to distinguish between what role you're playing mm-hmm. in preparing for that exercise and make sure that you're clear on that so that you don't dilute, you're not giving too much information in a mature situation, mm-hmm. but you're also not so abstract with the new.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. I think, you know, as the exercise staff, so to speak, we're really looking at, are we clear up front what everyone's roles are going to be? Are we clear on how we're going to interact? I mean, the way our approach has been, even if we're sitting next to each other during the exercise, is we use a particular channel on our internal Slack to keep everybody in sync. Because often when we're doing exercises, there might be two or three of us in the room, there might be one or two of us remotely who are calling in. Mm-hmm. Or some other nefarious way of injecting right. information. We've done some strange things. But the interaction, I mean, we're very clear that, like, we're going to execute move 14 now. And then as, you know, like when I'm directing the exercise, I'll then say, based on their reaction to move 14, we'll execute move 17 or move 19. And those moves are basically the reward or the consequence of what they're doing in the move that we just called.
Yep.
And sometimes we have moves that we, you know, injects that we don't even bring up because the situation has superseded that. Part of what I think we do in the preparation for this is we do a pretty good job, I think, of thinking about the multiple branches that the exercise may take and then crafting injects that are realistic, that make sense in the moment that they do these things.
Yeah.
Even if they seem far-fetched at the time we're creating them. And sometimes we're creating these in order to jump ahead in time or force an action because they haven't chosen to do something earlier. Like, for example, you know, one of our kind of internal traditions on a information security, cybersecurity focused exercise is to have someone inject themselves into the scenario and pretend to be journalist Brian Krebs, because famously Krebs gets ignored by people sometimes, and that's really not a wise move. And there's always a consequence of, in our exercise, if you respond to Krebs, then he will work with you in the exercise on the story. If you ignore Krebs, then the story is going to break a lot faster than you think it's going to, because now he's mad.
And
exercise Krebs is mad.
And often with surprising level of accuracy of
what actually
what's
happened.
Going on. Right. You know, to kind of force that, because that's, he's nope for that.
But this is what you want to create, I think, in the exercise. So right. Just to kind of play out what we were just talking about, one of the bigger decisions that you're going to make in a cybersecurity exercise, when you get to the point of confirming a breach, and the breach involves regulated data, PCI, PHI, trade secret data, I mean, you kind of pick your issue. Some of these have mandatory reporting periods attached to them. And so you may be in the exercise thinking, I've got 72 hours to craft my messaging, to understand the various vehicles I've got to send stuff out to my different audiences. And I got time to figure this out. What you don't know is that phone that rang over at the comms table in the exercise was exercise Brian Krebs, and your comms team blew him off. Now, to them, they're just no commenting, at least the first time. They've learned a lesson quick. The first time they do that, they no comment them, and they're like, okay, well, I've saved the situation because no journalist knows. The problem is, 15 minutes later in the exercise, you get a news story lands in everyone's mailbox, and when they click it, it's an audio link that we've recorded by an actor blowing your story wide open from Brian Krebs. And now you don't have 72 hours.
You do not.
You're out of time. You got to go now. And actually, you're too late because the story's already out. And it's not your story.
Now you're playing catch up.
In fact, we always craft that in a way that you're going to have to correct the story because the story's right. You've had a data breach. It might be that what you know is 600,000 records. The story is 4 million. So it sounds worse than what it really is. And now you got to correct it. And that's going to be really hard.
Yep. Well, I think that's really to that point. In thinking about the different branches, you also have to be able to go into this prepared for situations where they take a different turn or they explore a different branch than what was considered. Often you can kind of lay some of these out as some of them are more binary choices. It's a yes, no, it's a go, don't go, pay, don't pay, you know, type of situation. Sometimes there's more branches that we kind of think through and have prepared. But I think as the facilitator, what you really want to be able to do is be comfortable with that exercise in a fashion that if they go a different route or they don't take action on something that you assume they were going to take action on, that they had done previously, that they were good at, that you assume there's no way they're possibly going to pass this up.
And they do.
They do. Or it gets stalled out in a different conversation and nobody's aware that this other conversation is going on. You have to be prepared to add in another inject or kind of on the fly put additional pressure out there so that you're forcing some of these injects you've already put into play to be played. So you have to be able to improvise and kind of adapt, even if you've done a really good job of kind of laying out the different things. I think to that end too, as the facilitator, you can bind yourself up in knots. If you get too detailed and you get too rigid to the plan that you're trying to play out, that, well, there's only one of two choices. And if they don't pick these two choices, I don't know what to do. This exercise is a failure. It's not a failure. You have to be able to lay it out in a way that you're allowing them to kind of organically react to things and just prepare for them to start taking paths. But then be prepared as that facilitator evaluator to say, you know what? They actually went a different route and it was really effective.
Right.
We didn't have to play two more injects, or we had to add two more injects in on the fly to kind of move the conversation or explore a different piece of the objectives that they want to accomplish with the exercise. And I think that's the other piece of a facilitator too, is to keep those objectives that you've laid out for the exercise top of mind. That really what you're trying to do is, if communications is a thing, you're really playing up that communications piece of it. You're not letting that slide because the conversation went a different way. You try and drive them back to some of those objectives if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that, I think you bring a really important point. Part of it is kind of that whole idea of thinking through the storyline for the exercise and crafting your injects to support that and branches that you've foreseen. But you're exactly right, Bray, in that there will be situations that you just didn't foresee. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. The team just chose to go a different route. As the facilitator or exercise director, you just got to get them, decide that the path they're on is right. And that's the right path for what they've decided. And you're going to have to rearrange on the fly to deal with that. Or you're going to have to take some actions to get them back onto your main storyline. It's hard to tell until you're in the moment and you see kind of the direction that they're going to wind up going.
Well, and sometimes they just get hung up on a point and they just feel like I don't have the wrong point, or I don't have enough information to make a decision. I don't know what to do. I'm making an assumption here. I don't know. That's, you have to be able to, as the facilitator, that exercise staff, be able to step in and and just say, this is what we know. This is the only information you have. This is, assume this to be true, in order to get them unhooked or unstuck off of a point that they've kind of rallied around that says, nope, just assume this to be true, move on, to get them to keep moving. So it's really, it's that nimbleness, it's that improvisation that as that facilitation staff, that's really when you're preparing for it. Yeah, you need to know kind of the nuts and bolts of logistics of what's going on. But really you just need to be comfortable in a way walking in there that you can kind of push them and make them work through it. That's really whatever the goal is for that exercise. Your focus is just on making sure that happens. And regardless of what tangent or how slow the exercise may move because they're really exploring good content, those aren't failures. If you can't get to your last inject, you crafted 10 injects and you only get eight.
I mean,
it's not a failure.
In the end, the number of injects doesn't matter.
No.
Do you reach the goals and objectives you laid out in the exercise?
Exactly.
When you're talking about, when you're finalizing your exercise plan and you lay out, look, here's when we're going to stop. We're stopping at 3 o'clock or when we reach this point in the exercise, like this decision has been made or this conclusion has been reached and this is where we're going to cut
call
it.
Call it.
Yeah. Call it. And maybe you don't really have a hard time limit in some cases. It depends on your exercise and the company that you're doing. I think ours usually has there's a point where we got to end, but we're trying to get them there in advance of that by getting them to the final decision that they need to make before this thing wraps up or the final.
Or identifying the decision points you need to be able to walk into the execs.
Right. Or you achieve the result. It's kind of like, you know, your Oregon Trail game ends because you died of dysentery.
Or right.
You died fording the Mississippi River.
Right.
Your wagon axle broke. Or like whatever whatever those random events were in Oregon Trail. I mean, exercises are kind of the same way.
Right.
That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. We wish you well in preparing and planning for your next exercise. We've got 90 days till ours, so we've got some work to do. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll listen next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.